Well, this morning is Testimony Sunday, and so we're going to have Doug Dix come up and share a little bit about how the Lord has been working in his life. So welcome, Doug.
Well, Kevin called me the other day and asked me if I'd do my testimony, and it's been years and years. And then he told me, he said, now you only got about 20 minutes, so I don't know if he's inciting that I talk a lot or what. I'm not sure here. Well, he's shaking his head yes. And I thought about this, and Tim's like, why aren't you going to write stuff down that way? And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not. Because I think each one of us know exactly when that time came. And I don't know if I really need to write it down to let you know. But I'm going to start, and before I get done, I'm going to call Tina, because we have some exciting news to share with everyone. And so I thought about this, and as a young kid, I grew up on a farm in east of Stockton. And my older brother and I, we had it pretty rough. Starting out, you know, my dad was a pretty hard man. And I'm going to leave it at that. But we worked, and you know, we worked harder than hired men would work. We didn't have much of a childhood growing up, like other kids get to go play baseball or swimming, whatever. We worked. And I came from a very large family on top of it, and they all farmed, so there was a lot of us. And growing up in that, I was different. Yeah, I enjoyed the, because of my last name and the things that came with that, which wasn't always good. But as I got a little older and got kind of fed up with how things were growing up, and so I kind of marched to the beat of my own drum a lot of times. Well, that marching ended up getting me to drinking and a lot of other things that at the time weren't probably good. And so life went on, and some people might say I might have been a little ornery. There might be one lady in the back that might say that. I'm not sure. She knew me. Things were hard. You know, we grew up in a time that, and I told my old brother and I, we talk about it a lot, about how our childhood was and the things that happened to us from our dad and different things. And, you know, we were on tractors and combines. Most kids were getting broke out on a bicycle. We were on a tractor, or we were on a combine, and we'd work all day. My dad had grown up with it. We didn't have cell phones back then or anything. So, you know, we're 8 and 10 years old. We're out in the fields working. You know, he'd drop us off, and we might see him at lunch. We may not see him until dark. You know, we were out there working. And so as I got older, you know, and of course, like I said, I had a big family, so a lot of them would be in town on a Saturday night. Well, needless to say, our Saturday nights turned into early Sunday mornings. A lot of times we drank and we did a lot of crazy things. And as time went on, I married my first wife. And her family was Southern Baptists. And they were the Southern Baptists. If anybody in here has ever been around Southern Baptists, you know they can be pretty staunch and hardcore. And they really didn't see much need in her marrying me. And so we would go out to the farm, and they farmed. And at lunchtime, different things, they would talk about God and how he was working in their lives and doing things. I didn't care. I went in the other room. I didn't want to hear this. It's nothing to do with me. I don't care. And so this went on for quite a while, and her brother and I worked in the oil patch together, and he was different. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. It's not really so much what we say to people, it's how we react. And we played softball on a lot of things together, and back then, you know, things would get a little rough sometimes, and a few fights might break out on a given Saturday or Sunday. He would never say anything. He just always sat back, you know. And I watched that as we went on. And But I still continued to party with my friends and did the things that I thought was cool, you know, and a lot of other things. And so one day I decided, I don't know what happened, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to church this morning. Don't know why. I just thought, nah, whatever, I'll go. Because that's all I hear when I'm not there. So I thought, eh, you know, I'll go check it out and see what's going on. And I know a lot of people, you know, when God touches you, we all have similar stories. So I got up that morning and I went to church, not knowing anything and didn't really care. At that point, I was just more trying to satisfy my wife to get off my back. And I was sitting there and the pastor got ready to give his message. And he started in on the message and it was like, this is just weird. This man doesn't know me, but he's talking about me, everything that comes out of his mouth. And so as it went on, I'm sitting there and I go, this is amazing. How does he know this? You know? And at that time, it was like I was the only one in church. The only one. There was nobody else there but me and the pastor and God's message. It was the weirdest thing I've ever been around. But it was the most awesome thing I've ever been around after that. I sat there and I listened to it, and every word that came out of his mouth was exactly what I needed to hear. God had been speaking to me for a long time. I just didn't listen. And when that message was over and invitation time came, it was like two angels just picked me up out of that pew and hauled me up to the front. I couldn't wait to get up there. God touched my heart immediately. And we sit and think, you know, well, I've done so many things in my lifetime. You know, why should God want me? You know, can he forgive me for the things that I did? Yes, he can. And he loves us that much that he doesn't care what we did. He cares about what we're doing now. And at that point in time, he cared enough and he loved me enough to get me up out of that chair and come up. And so I did, and it was great. And immediately, as some churches do and like to do, because some of them don't have a lot of help, I had to learn pretty quick. Because I got thrown into teaching Sunday school classes. I got thrown into leading the youth group. And I had, you know, so I studied and I studied the Bible to try to do my best at some of this. And that part of it was good because it did force me into reading God's Word, you know, and trying to learn a lot of it on my own at a fast pace. I didn't have time to go to classes and, you know, we need to grow each step. We can't take new Christians and throw them out there and say, this is what you're going to do. You need to do this and that. And so, and then later on, the pastor came to me and asked me that, hey, I'm going to be gone a few Sundays. Can you fill in? I'm like, what? Yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, and so I wrote out a sermons and what I thought a sermon was. You know, I loved God. I knew who God was, but I really didn't know enough about Him. And so I preached, and as time went on, there came a point where there was a church in Jetmore, Kansas that called me. They were looking for a pastor. Well, in the sense of humor of all things, I got a job offer in Salina, Kansas for Pepsi. And it was an upper management position. And I'd worked in the oil patch for years and grew up on the farm. And I thought, you know, this is great. You know, and then this church calls me. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't even know what to do. You know, I prayed about it. And we had three kids. And the money just was not there at the church. You know, and I'm like, I just cannot turn this job offer down. You know, I don't have a college degree, so at that time, you know, to get offered a position like that is almost unheard of. I had visited with them several times, making trips down there. Didn't know if the job would ever go through because of certain issues with that. Well, they called me almost the same day that the church called me. So now I have to make a decision. And I looked at my wife then and I said, you know, I'm going to take the position in Salina. I said, I have three kids and blah, blah, blah. And so we took the job in Salina. Skipped the opportunity to be in the church. And I've always looked back on some of that thinking, you know, God was trying to talk to me about something then and I kind of ignored it. But the older I've gotten and the closer I've gotten with God and learning and knowing His Word, I was telling Kevin this. I knew a man one time that knew the Bible front and back. He knew it. It didn't matter what was in it. He knew it. But there was one thing missing. He didn't know who God was. Not at all. And I think about that. And he did that to argue with us most of the time. To try to prove you wrong. But I thought about that. And it's like, you know, at that point in time in my life, God knew I was not ready for something like that. My growth period was not close to being able to help and to confront people that had problems and issues with the church, because I didn't know, you know, and at times I still don't know, but I do know where to get the answers. Then I was just, yeah, it's me, you know. And so I look back on that and I'm thankful to God that did I take the right path? I'm not sure, but it did lead to a lot of other things. We moved, took the kids, and we moved to Bennington. It was outside of Salina. And I took the job, and it was working out great. And we found a little church there in Bennington that we started going to. It was okay. But as time went on, we got to know some other people. Well, we kind of stepped back a little bit. Each and every month, it seemed like we were just stepping backwards from God. You know, we started with drinking again and having the social times that everybody thinks so great. And we always raised our kids in the church. That was one thing I will look back and thank God for, that we always made sure our kids was there, whether we went or not. All three of them have accepted Christ, so I'm thankful for that. But we, as time went, we kept stepping backward. But God was always there. You know, He'll allow us to do anything we want to do. And so we stepped a little farther back, and eventually we stepped far enough back that we quit going to church, didn't pray anymore, didn't do anything. Just what we thought was fun. You know, because we've raised kids, it's our time, we need to go out there and we need to have some fun. Well, so it led to that. Well, then I got a phone call for a job back in the oil patch, and it was back here. And for those of you that never worked in the oil patch, I'm going to tell you something. Once it gets hooked in you, it's hard to walk away from it. I went in and out three different times in my life into the oil patch, and the last time was enough. So I told my wife then, I said, I'm going to take the job. And it was back here in Hayes. She goes, well, we're not moving. I said, well, fine, I'll drive. And I was out of town all the time. Anyway, I traveled over and over and over. Well, that led to a divorce, eventually. And so, when that led to that, it led me to drink more. And to do the things that I knew in my heart God didn't want me to be doing. But He loved me to a point where He sat there and He waited. And He waited. And He allowed me to do whatever it was I wanted to do. And I'm thankful that my life was not taken at times, because it was close. Because of my stupidity. Because I wanted to have fun. And so after the divorce, well, I still was drinking, partying, doing whatever I thought was necessary for me. Well, then I met Tina and we got married and we were still doing the same things. And eventually over time, we were faced with each other of a separation. Verge of another divorce. And we got together and we sat down in the living room one day. And I'm telling you, folks, you hear people talk about Satan and the things that he can do and not do. Believe me, he's real and he's out there. because he took a hold of what we had and made our lives so miserable, and he enjoyed every second of it. So we sat down after that and got back together, and we sat down in the living room one day and we talked about issues that we had, and this is not the path we need to be going. You know, we didn't come together to walk away from it 9 years later. I'd been through that once, and that's more than anybody ever needs to be in a lifetime. So we sat down, and we figured out our difference a little bit. And the first thing I told her, I said, you know, the biggest thing we need in our lives is God. He will bring us up out of this, and if we give him and have patience. So we sat down and we started praying. And every day we prayed for each other. Our marriage got stronger and stronger. Satan got stronger and stronger because he knew he was losing the battle. And as it went on, and Kevin knows, and some people know about things that happened in our life at that point, Satan was just going bananas. We stayed steady, fast with God. He had his arms out for us and waiting, and he would hug us every day. And Satan hated it. So eventually, we just kept on the path. And God took care of Satan immediately. He said, enough, enough. These are my kids. It's like, I kind of like comparing it to a mama bear or mama lion. Mess with their cubs, mama's coming after you with vengeance. And that's kind of the way I felt God was doing with Satan at that point. He's coming after you with a vengeance because you're messing with my kids. And so as time went on, why, we prayed and prayed. And sometimes we look back and, you know, it's at the lowest point in your life when you're down on your knees and you think, wow, how much worse can it get? You know, and it can. But once you're down that low, there's only one thing to do, and that's look up. And we did. And we looked up, and there was God standing, Jesus standing there waiting on us. He'd never left me. I left him. But he was always there waiting on me to come back. And I'm so thankful that I did. And as we've went on, we pray to God that, you know what, we need to break down some of these barriers in our lives, in our heart, and let God come in. And the more doors that you break down, the more he's coming in, if you allow him. So we got to the point in our lives through this, and Tina was saved and was baptized right here in this church. And we sat down one night and we said, you know what, God? We know, without a shadow of a doubt, you have something for us. We're here. We're ready. Use us. We opened our hearts. We opened every door that we knew that was shut and opened it. And we allowed God to come in. And if you've never done that, be prepared. Okay? Because when you ask God to use me, to further your kingdom, or whatever it is, God, that you want me to be doing, and you are sincere about it, and you're chasing after God's own heart, believe me, hang on, because things are going to happen. And they've been happening for Tina and I ever since then. We felt that God was leading us into something. Wasn't sure what. I told her, I said, you know, maybe God's talking to me, to pastor a church. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. You know, God, if that's what it is you want me to do, you open the doors, we'll step through them. Well, God knew that I'm not a real patient person. Never have been. And so we've been patiently waiting and waiting. And through this time, God wanted to find out from me, and from Tina, I do believe, okay, you say these things, do you mean them? Because I need to know. If you mean them, I'm going to use you. And we're going to do things that's going to just make your lives crazy. And I'm like, God, you know my heart. I'm done with all the past. I'm done with everything that led me up to this point. I don't want no more to do with. And, you know, we have since then, we've had friends, we've had family that they talk to us once in a while, but not like they used to. You know, because God's going to take you to a path that He wants you on. They still look at that old times as, oh, it's fun, it's great, we're having a great time. But we've had more fun since we've allowed God into our hearts than I ever had in 30 years that I did what I did. And that's hard to imagine, but if you've never tried it, give it a shot once. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to change your life if you allow God to come in. And so we've prayed and prayed and said, God, you know what? We're ready. Whenever you're ready, we're ready. And we've waited almost a year now for something to happen. Nothing really happened other than, you know, we grew stronger in God's Word and came to grow with God, not just know what the Bible says or, you know, what we learn in Sunday school, but we apply it to our lives. And when we open up to God, it's the best feeling you can ever have, and especially when He starts doing things with you. And you're going to realize that, wow, this is awesome. You know, I didn't know this could even happen. But God does, because He loves each one of us so much that He doesn't want to see us do anything other than what He has for us. And if we're willing to get to that point in our lives and say, God, here I am, use me. I'm ready. I'm tired of the fight, the struggles that we have. Not that we still don't struggle in certain areas, but I want to eliminate this crud out of my life. And you're the only way I know how to do it. And so and then it kind of comes to this point. And I've left a lot of stuff out because of time restraints. And I'm trying to make Kevin happy back there. But I'm going to tell you just real, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life or the things that you're doing or have done. It doesn't matter. Because God loves you and He's waiting on you. God, I can't believe I was saved. By the grace of God, from the way I was and the way I was raised, you know, not knowing God, went to church for a funeral and a wedding my entire life. It was the only time I ever stepped foot. I mean, to know the things in my past that I don't have time to stand up here and share with you, and most of them weren't good. And to where we're at now, and I would love to be able to tell the whole story sometime, but I know there's not enough time. To know what somebody's like from this half, God comes into their life and He changes them from here 360 degrees the other way. It's amazing.
You've been listening to Testimony Sunday at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.